Parsh Vayechi, in the brachas of Yaakov to his children, there are two malachim. Yehuda and Yosef are both called malachim. We saw it by Yigash. Chazal say, Shnei malachim is goyshim zem zeh. Both of them are malchus. But there's a lot of nafkeminis in the tzura of the bracha between the two malachim. First of all, it says Yehuda ato yiducha checha. The first statement that he makes to Yehuda is ato yiducha checha, that your brothers are going to admit to your malchus. They're going to crown you as king. That is the malchus Yehuda. Yosef says the exact opposite. On Yosef it says, on the one hand it says Nizir Yaakov, that he's the crown of his brothers, but he starts right away by saying Ben Paras Yosef, Vayimoru Varoibu Vayistimu Balechitzim, that the brothers hated him and ambushed him, and so he have two malachim, the malchus of Yehuda is a malchus of Yeducha Checho, and the malchus of Yehuda is a malchus of Adrab of Vayistimuhu. If you're talking about the same tune of Malchus Monefshach, why is his Malchus a Malchus where everyone accepts it, and his Malchus a Malchus that's hated? Also, there's another difference between Yosef and Yehuda in their Avodah and the Etzem Nisoyin. It says that by Yosef, as he was about to sin with Potiphera, it says the Musti Yukna of Yaakov came to him and he said, do you want that your name should be erased from the Orm Vitumim? All the Shvatim are going to be there and your name is going to be erased. And that's why he desisted. Next to the parasha of Yosef, you have the parasha of Yehuda. Yehuda was Nichshel in an Aveira. Hard to see, it is more Chumrah in a certain sense. She was already, it's certainly Be'erach, the same Chumrah. And Fakert, his name wasn't Nimchak. Why Yosef, if he would have been Nichshol Na'avera, his name would have been Nimchak from Dor V'Tumim. And Yehuda, he was Chayta, he did Tshuva. And Adrav, there's no mention of being Moichik Shmoy. Adrav, it says Yehuda was Moiris Tshuva and so on. It's a godless on his part. He was Moidav Leibosh. Yehuda was Nis'ala Ligdula in a certain sense through this parasha. And Yosef would have caused him that. Another Nekuda in the parasha of Yosef that's Kedai to be Misbainin. Yaakov Avinu is giving a brachas to his children. And he starts by going to the history. It says, Bein Peiras, Yosef, Bein Peiras. Yosef is a Ben Chain. He's very handsome, he's very beautiful. Bonois Tzad Al Ishur. The daughters of Mitzrayim would stand on top of the wall to look at, or would stand, stam to look up at him and to see how beautiful he was. So Bechlal, the whole union of beauty in the Torah is something that should be misbinded into. But Mela, at least in certain places, it makes sense in the context, sort of as the history. In other words, Rachel, he was Yifas Toya, so Bemela, he wanted Rachel first. Sarah was Yifas Toya, that's why she had the Nisayin of Mitzrayim. Yosef was Yifas Toya, that's why she had the Nisayin of Potiphar. That's the Eish Potiphar, that's fine. Those are, at least over there, it's in context of what's coming. Here it's all over, finished. There's no, he's giving a bracha to Yosef for the hemshech of Klal Yisrael and the hemshech of the Deiris. So he starts by telling him how beautiful he is, that all the daughters of Mitzrayim came to look at him and so on. What's it? He's not giving him a bracha later that he should, that of Yosef. He's just going back again on this nekuda. What's the inyan over here? Chazal and Bez Rabbah point out that it says that the Yoifi of Yosef, it says, was a Yoifi of, it says because the Medrash is like this, because it says Rochel was a Fas Toya Fas Mara, that's why it says by Yosef there's Fas Toya Fas Mara, meaning that the Sheirish of Yosef, and his Yoifi is Rachel. It's the Rachel's Yoifi is his Yoifi. Physically, it's a teva. The people look alike, and Bimela, if she was Yifaster, so he's also Yifaster. I mean, what are Chazal telling us? I mean, Chazal telling us that genetically a person takes after his parents. I mean, what's the that they're telling us that whatever the nekuda of Yoifi that Rachel had, that nekuda was nimshach to Yosef. It's a hemshach of that mile of Yoifi. And the truth is, there's another place where you find the union of Yoifi, and Yosef is the hemshach of it. Chazal say that. Chazal speak about Yoifi, they say that the Shufra of Yaakov is Kain Shufra of Adam Arishan. That Yaakov's beauty is Yaakov was doimer to Adam Arishan in his Yoifi. And Adam Arishan is Betzal Malakim. I mean, that's the Musa Yuknoi. Yosef was the Musa Kunin of Yaakov. So there's one thread of Yoifi that came through Rachel, and there's one thread of Yoifi that came through Yaakov, that Shufris, his beauty is like Adam, and Adam's beauty is like that. So, I mean, definitely the beauty it incorporates the Teichna of the person as well. But still, what's the Nekuda of Yoifi? As far as we're concerned, we always speak of Yoifi in terms of Sheker, of Hevel, and so on. The Yoifi here is Faket, you're talking about an Ikka Godel, that's the Must Yukne of Adam because he's Doimet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Must Yukne of Yaakov that is Doimet Adam. The Troshim of Yosef and Yehuda as Malachim are Mushrash in Rochel and Leah. Poshet. Yehuda is the Melech from Leah, and Yosef is the Melech from Rachel. The Yoifi of Yosef he got from Rachel, like Chazal say, and Yehuda's Koyach of Hoidah he got from his mother. Yehuda was Moida, in one sense, Hoida v'leibayish on the Chet of Tamar, and Yehuda's mother was Serapam Oida, so he got his Hoidah from his mother. So Bemis, the two Shroshim of Yehuda and Yosef, the two Malachim, are Mushrash and the two Imois. Chazal said when they describe the difference between Rachel and Leah, they say, Yesh Pelach Shel Shtika v'Yesh Pelach Shel Hoidah. There is a craft of speaking, and there's a craft of keeping silent. Leah took the Pelach of Hoidah, of speaking or being Moida, she said, Apam Oides Hashem. Whereas Leah took the Pelach of Shtika, that it says, she didn't give over to Simonim, and she didn't do this, she didn't do that. Different places where Rachel was Shesik, now is a godless. Demis is, they're not really parallel. In other words, if I tell you, If I make the following statement, that one person does something by making people enthusiastic, he gets people enthusiastic, that's how he gets to do something, and one person disciplines them. So there's a zel umas zeh, it's two drachim how to accomplish the same thing. You're talking about two ways which are really parallel. One person pressures someone to doing something, one person entices someone doing something. So these are two mahalchim that I could call them parallel, because they're dealing with the same activity and with the same goal. But if I tell you that Reuven is a very good teacher and Shimon is a very good person to confide in, It's two different milas. They can come together, they can come separately, you can be without either. It's not really parallel in any sense. Each one is a midah taiva, but it's not really a conflict with the other one. I mean, we're talking about Rachel is Pelach Shel Shtika. So Shtika doesn't teach anybody anything. Shtika doesn't do anything for anyone. So it was a midah that she wasn't selfish and she gave herself away. The shtika of Re'el Lechura is not the Hoidah of Leah was to be Mefarsim, the goddess of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Neis, and the Shevach, and the Hoidah. It's a teaching, it's a mode of teaching. Rachel was a tremendous act of selflessness, but there's no Zeh L'Umaseh. I mean, Chazal seemed to say it, there are two parallel methods. There's a method of dibur and shtika. The shtika is not accomplishing what the dibur is accomplishing, and the dibur is not accomplishing what the shtika is accomplishing. The shtika over there is an act of not betraying any sense of self, not wanting to take anything for you, being mevata. And the Haidah is being mefarsim, the goddess of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth. It's not at all a parallel. Where's the parallel? And Chazal called this is the Pelach Shal Shtik, and this is the Pelach Shal Haidah. This was their umnis. Leah took this, and Rachel took this. Obviously that the Pelach of Shtika is the mouth. It's not Shtika, but it's Yoifi. In other words, the Yoifi comes in Shtika, and that's where the Nekud is. And we'll try to explain it. One more nekuda along the lines of Yoifi. The Reb Tzadik says, and it's the Demesis, he says it in words, but it's hinted in a lot of places. Reb Tzadik says that Yoifi, beauty is for the people that are Shemes Abris. In other words, people that are not Nichshol in Taiva and in Hira, that's the Maton of Yoifi is for them, and therefore in Yosef HaTzadik, who was the ultimate Tzadik in Kfir Sayetza, was the ultimate Nifas Toya Fas Mara. And in different places it says, the Chazal say, if somebody is Choyte, so his ponim is Mushchas, and V'chulu, there are a lot of places in Chazal where it's Mashma that Chet is Mitashas to Yoifi, and Yoifi is a product, and that's why Yosef HaTzadik is the one with the Baal Yoifi, Yosef HaTzadik is the one that wasn't Choyte. They go together. The Tzidkes of Yosef and his Yifas Toya go together. Good, so if it's a matana v'kadosh baruch hu, matana v'kadosh baruch hu, and fine, it's not asking why, but it's mashma that it's a mahalach that goes intrinsically together, that yoifi is dafka for the one that's kovish esatzma and so on. So let's try to start talking. Let's understand the nekud of yoifi, the bria of yoifi, and the chshivas of yoifi, and from that we'll try to understand by Yosef. A person in doing something, in being mashpia, in influencing, there's two mahalchim. The mahalach of being mashpia biyadayim. Lemashal, if I want to get something, if I want to push something, do something, I use my hands and I touch it and pull it and push it. Everything in the world that has a cause and effect has a cause and effect through physical negiah. The chush of mishush is the chush of two things touch each other, and every physical reality requires interaction with touch. Something pushes, something's pulled, and so on. That is one tzura of accomplishing something. When a person is pulled along somewhere, pushed somewhere, he goes physically, and even not physically, if I pressure someone into doing something. So even though I didn't touch him physically, but it's also in conceptually, if I used pressure to push someone to do something, or pull someone somewhere with pressure, so there it's I would say it's parallel to a maisa biyadayim. That is, it's part of the world of Maisa. I can get someone to go somewhere by luring him there. Lamashal. And the chush that specifically deals with that is Re'iyah. If a person sees something interesting, fascinating, moving, seducing, if a person sees something, then a person is pulled to it because something pulls them there. Let me try to make it a little more precise than nafkemina. When a person is pushed or pulled somewhere, either physically or the parallel, so it's always a peer action. In other words, you need this, you're not going to get this unless you do this, so you better go and do that. It means I grab you by whatever is current to your mitzias, and I schlep and pull and push. If I if I take something that's out of the framework of that person's mitzias, if I tell him you won't get this and this, and it's something that Bichlal has no shaykhs to, no interest to, couldn't care for, so it has no pressure on the person. I can't push or pull someone if the tools don't grab him, if they're too big on him or too small on him. If I tell a big millionaire he's going to lose a dollar if he does it, if he doesn't do it, it has no effect on him. And if I tell an ani that he's not going to make it in high society if he doesn't do that, it also has no pull or pressure. It has to be in the world of reality that he's part of. That is how tfisa and mishus work on a social level. Re'iya is the opposite. A person lives in a certain gray reality, in a certain dull reality, and all of a sudden something shines far away. There's a glint of something exciting, something different, something fascinating, something unearthly. That's where the person says, you know, let me see what it is. It's fascinating. Let me go after it. The chusha re'iya entices a person because it's nivdal from the person, because it's above the person, because it's higher than the person. So you have adrabah. In chush ha-mishush, it has to be as relevant to the person as possible. In the chush ha-riya, it has to be beyond the person. It has to be above the person. It has to be, it has to promise the person something past the horizon. Chush ha-riya stops at the horizon, and when something shines at the horizon, the person will walk to see what's beyond it. He wants to try to get something that's above him, beyond him, better than him. So you have two mahalchim of getting something done. You have a mahalach that expresses itself through the chush of mishus, and you have a mahalach that expresses itself through the chush of re'iya. The metzias of re'iya, The description of something that affects something else through re'iya is called yoifi. When I see something, saying that it's beautiful means two things. A, it's out of the framework of that which I'm used to. It's better, it's nicer, it's more attractive. And I want to go there because it's attainable. I want to get it because I don't have it. That is the metzias of yoifi in every metzias. On a most physical of metzias, something that's yoifi is because A, it has to be inordinate. That which is ordinary is never yoifi. Even if it's nice and has no pagamim, but in as much as it's ordinary, the word yoifi doesn't ascribe to it. And it's something that has in itself a sense of better, different, things we associate harmony, grace, somebody that's above something of the dull matter around me always carries in itself the nekudah of yoifi. And no matter in the protim, how, what, when, but the metzias is that it's something better, it's something above, it's nivdal from where I am. That is yoifi. So when Chazal describe yoifi in the Bria, Shufra d'Adam Arishin is daima. When you look at a person, Lamashal, so the physicality of the person is that he's this and this height and this and this weight, and therefore he will push a scale this and this far, and he can and his strength and so forth. That is the physical properties of a person. When you speak of a person's yoifi, the yoifi always seems to point at something more than what you have in your hands. The yoifi is the physicality of a person. When you're buying an evid, you look at how tall he is, how heavy he is, how much muscles he has, how much weight he can pull, how much weight he can push. You're dealing with the chayma that's there. When you're dealing with a person, where a person attracts you as a person, so the tchuna finds itself in yoifi because what attracts you to a person is what the person has more than his physical body, more than just what's there. It's this. There's something pulling a person because there's something more than it, to the person. That is what yoifi is. So the Adam has in himself two tchunas. He has in himself what he is, and he has in himself the yoifi of what's beyond his body, what's beyond his the simple chayma. The chachmas adam torah panav is because the yoif, because there's a lot more to the person than is than is presented on the platter. That's what the Yofi always indicates. So in the Mahalach of Yofi in the Bria, or the Marishan, Yitzir Kavav HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to Must Yukne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov Avinu, because he was Ish Sholem, he was Yofi. And Yosef seemed to have been the perfection of Yofi. In the Mahalach, in Yaakov's household, was built on the two Yesodis. Leah's Maila was Hoidoya, which is, and again, like we said, it's teaching. We're dealing here with being Mefarsim Kvod Shemayim, with being Maimid Klal Yisrael. All of the Inyonim that they have of Chshivas are Inyonim of Chshivas for Tachlis. We're not talking about what they were for themselves, because the Torah doesn't concern themselves as individuals who or what they were. We're talking about the Midah. The plach of Leah was Hoidoya. Hoidoya is a Midah where you reach out to a person and where he is and work with what's there. So speech is the primary vehicle for it. You tell him, you talk to him, you can relate to him, you speak on the same wavelength. It's Dibur requires a kesha. You need a shemeach to be a medaber. If your words are not nitfas by the person, then you haven't said anything. The person has to understand it. It has to make sense to him. It has to be convincing. That's how an interaction of Dibur works. But there's another way of being mashpia, and that's through Yofi. When a person sees someone that is above, the person is there's something better to the person. There's something there that I can't put my finger on it, and I don't understand it yet. But there's a ruach alekim. There's something there that goes beyond what meets me. So adarabba, it's almost because I don't understand it. It's almost because it's beyond me that it attracts me. And the adarabba, the yoifi comes through shtika. If it's something that's familiar, if it's something that can be broken into words that are understandable, so it takes away from the Yofi. The Yofi, the special chain of Yofi is because Yofi is beyond words. It comes through shtika. There's a description, beautiful description, Rav Volba in his first Chelek of Alei Shur, in the Akdamah, he writes why he called the Sefer Alei Shur. Rav Volba himself was a German student, his father was Reform. I think he might even be a Reform Rabbiner, I'm not sure, but definitely was not Shlum. And he was a very intelligent boy, he'd gone to university, and was not Shlum. And somehow, I don't know who was Mashpia, I think he was Shlum, I don't remember, he ended up in the Mir. And he saw Rabbi Yeruchim maybe for a year in his life. And that was it. Now Rabbi Yeruchim was Difter, and Rabbi Yeruchim was Difter in the mid-30s. And he writes that this was his mashpia. In other words, he called the sefer al shem his having met Rabbi Yeruchim. And he writes about him that he never really was a close Talmud. I mean, until he began to understand him, until he began this, he was nifter. It wasn't that he got from his teachings, but he said, and he writes it, I mean, it's a very, very beautiful description. He said, you know, I was blown in with a storm to a new world. And he said, you know, sometimes you stand like Al Ashur is built on this. It's taken from this parasha, that you stand on a wall to gaze at someone who's so much taller and so much beauty, and even if you never touch that person, and even if you never had that kesha, but the fact that there is such a metzias, the fact that such a picture, that accompanies you for the rest of your life, and keeps you searching. So he said. To him, Rabbi Yeruchim, he never got to Dibur, but the Yofi of a person who was such a shleimistic, ruchnistic person whose every tenua was kuloi seichel and das and chochma, everything about him was kuloi das expressing itself in every way. That's how Yofi is mashpia. So a person can write 50 years later that someone who never really was able to make contact with him on a peer level, never was able to interact with him, but the Dmust Yuknoi is like a star that keeps him moving in a certain direction. That's the Metzius of Yofi. So Klal Yisrael has two strands of Ashpah. The strand of Leah, which is the Plach of Hidoya, and the strand of Rachel, which is the Plach of Shtika. Shtika and Yofi. The ability for Yofi to be mashpi on someone, which adarabah comes without the burr. Just the etzem mitzius of Yofi is the thing that's mashpi on the person. Those, the malachim, there were two malachim that came out of that. Yehuda came out of the malchus, was the embodiment of Leah's Yesoid, of Yesoid Hidoya, and Al Shmoy Nikra. And Yosef was the embodiment of the Plach Shtika, which is Yofi veiled in Shtika. The Yehuda's Maila is because he can relate to his brothers, because he's part and parcel of his brothers, because Ato Yeducha Achecha, your brothers recognize that you're the guiding force, and you can, you told them not to throw in Yosef, you told them to sell him, you told them this, you're the one that's the Malchus that speaks and pulls people with speech. That's the soid of why Yehuda had to be a Baal Tshuva, because had he not been toim the Tam Chet, again, I mean, how it works with Bechira and all these, that's not the Indian of this Nekuda. But the Metzias was, had he not himself fallen down, had he not himself been toim the Tam of Chet and come back again, he could not have made contact with his brothers. And that's why the Malchus Yehuda is, not only wasn't it Nifgam when he was Choyte, but the Malchus, the name Yehuda gets its name because he was Meide V'Leibosh. It's not only the Pshat wasn't his name Nimchak from the Orim V'Tumim when he sinned, but Adrabe, he got his name because he sinned and was Meide Misvada Meide V'Leibosh, and he became the Malchus of Yehuda. Yosef is the Nekuda in Klal Yisrael that's beyond Klal Yisrael. Yosef is the Nekuda in Klal Yisrael that is higher than Klal Yisrael and never touched the ground. And that's why he's called Nezir Echav. Nezir means a crown, and Nezir also means the one that's separate, the one that's apart, the one that's estranged in one way, and also the one that's above. A crown is called Nezir because it's above the Kaimas Adam. It's not really part of the Kaimas Adam the way a beggar is. It sits on top of the person. It's above the person. Yosef is the brother that's above the brothers. And that's his and that's why Yaakov said, he starts off by describing him as the one that the brothers hated and despised and so on, because that's the Malchus of Yosef. The Malchus of Yosef is because he's above them and because he's beyond them, two reactions happen, either or. Sometimes you're lured by it and sometimes you're threatened by it. If a person is open and he sees something beyond him, he says, Mashcheni Achrecha V'Narutza, you know, let's take a step in that direction and see if I can take it. Or if the person feels he can't take it, the person feels he'll never be there, so he feels threatened, and he despises it, he hates it, but it's a reaction to something that is tantalizingly beyond me. I can't be there, I can't get there, so let's put it down, or let me find a reason why I can't be there. That is, so Yosef is despised by his brothers because that's his metzias, because he's not with them, he's beyond them. He's Dmus Yukne Aviv in the sense the brothers are a generation later, and he still belongs to a previous generation. His Koyim is above the Koyim of the Achim. That's how the Torah describes, when it describes Yosef, he's describing his Yofi, because, not because of what happened, you know, that's, but Adrab, that is Yosef. Yosef is the one, he's the Ben Peiras Alei Oyen, Benois Tzad Alei Shur. He's the person that he's not the person that's Mashpia because he himself does an action and convinces someone and talks to someone and so on. He's the person that the Yofi of Atzuras Adam B'Shlei Musay walks down the street, and people stand on top of a wall because he's so tall and you have to look up to him. They stand to look up and to catch a glimpse of what's Tzuras Adam B'Shlei Musay. What's a shadow of the Must Yuknei of Koinoi? Where is the Yoifi that looks like Yaakov, who looks like Adam, who looks like the Must Yuknei Kaviyachol of Betzalma Kid Musay? That's the way people are mushpa by it. So Benoist Tzadu Alei Shur is not just an event describing what happened and so on. It's telling him that's your malchus. Your malchus is a malchus where when you appear, people will stand and catch a glimpse of that Tzuras Adam. There's the Sfasemis, when he was a young child, his father took him to see the Kotzka. He was too young, even with his goyness, everything, to get anything from hearing and, you know, talking or chzir, whatever it is. And the Chiddush HaRim, his father was dead, was nifter, young Chiddush HaRim said, he's taking him, he said, let him have once in his lifetime a picture of an Emes Yid. Let him see a Tzuras, the Must Yuknei of Yoifi. He's not going to get from Dibur. He's not going to get anything from the interaction. But the Dmust Yuknei of such a Tzura is going to be Malavim for his life. The reason why Taiva is Mashlesit, even though we always seem, I mean, for us, Faket, Yoifi is always caught up with Yetzirah and so on, it's the opposite. The Yoifi of something is, in as much as it is estranged from us. If a person, Lamashal, a person that we're very familiar with, it never is Yoifi. It always, once it becomes familiar, it loses its Yoifi. Someone who comes across with a tremendous Yoifi, and then he does something very clunky or awkward or clumsy, it detracts from it because somewhere along the line it becomes another, a person like everyone else, another chaymer, another bus of a dumb. Anything, the Maral's words for Yaakov Avinu is always, he calls Yaakov Avinu Nivdal. Yaakov Avinu is the one that's apart from everyone. He's apart in the sense higher. He's of a higher nature, and therefore he's not part of the material world around it. And Meidach Gisa, and Yaakov is called, the Meidach of Yoifi is attributed to Yaakov, like we said, Dmust Yukno of Yaakov is Dmust Yukno. They go hand in hand. In as much as something is above flesh and blood, above Chayma, that's how much there's Yoifi. And in as much as the person is mashchis, that as much as the person becomes stuck to chayma, as much as the person becomes indulges, in as much, I mean, in every level, even physically, a person who's quote unquote doesn't need anyone, cool, independent, there's a certain chayin to it. As soon as the person, we see a person needs someone, is desperate for something, is meshubit to something, the chayin goes off. Because so it's gone. He's like everyone else. The person who's a Baal Bris means that he's a person that's unattached to Chaimer, and that gives him that Chayin and that Yoifi. The minute a person becomes attached to Chaimer, the minute the person indulges and he's a glutton in Chaimer, so it becomes Mos. Because then it's a shtick chaimer, and that's all it is. And you see it. A person has a little more of a fine sense. A person who has a ruchnius to him has a certain yoifi of being above chaimer, and a person that's kosher in chaimer gets a whole grubkite of a tzura of chaimer. On Malchus Yehuda, the Mashal, David Niflad Moed, on the description of Malchus Yehuda, of Malchus Beis David, of Mashiach Ben David, it is a parsha in Yeshayo, Pergen Gimel, Hine Yaskel Avdi, it's also before in the vase. And the parsha describes the Melech HaMashiach of Mashiach ben Yehuda, and describes him how Toyaro is Mushchas Mi Adam. His beauty, his Yoifi, is totally wrecked and destroyed. In other words, in the Malchus Yehuda, Yehuda is coming to the person who's to be goyel the lowest of the low, and therefore he's coming not as the Melech of Yoifi, which is Mashiach ben Yosef, but he's coming as the Melech of the person who's totally Mushchas and schlepping him out of the mud. That's the why by him. It's the whole parasha over there describes on how much the Yoifi of Mashiach ben David has been totally destroyed and devastated. I mean, that's the whole parasha. It's a murder parasha. Those are the yisoides of Malchus and Klal Yisrael. It's the yisoid of Rachel and Leah. It's the yisoid of Yehuda and Yosef. I want to, again, bring, like we said, or always say, everything is true in Klal Yisrael in a global sense. It's true in every Adam. Every Adam himself has a koima of Malchus. There's a Melech Evarim, and there's Evarim Lamala and Evarim Lamata. A person's koima has in itself the same tchunis, and as Klal Yisrael, because you say every person in his own right, there's different Malchus and different Inyanim and different Pnimius. We usually emphasize the Yehuda Chelik, that a person, it's not enough that a person is Eir at any time, but you, getting there actually is long and hard and gray and just requires a lot of effort and discipline and so on. And it's Zechemis. But I want to emphasize the first Chelik. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, in the beginning, when he describes Nevuah, the Rambam has a mashal on Nevuah. Nevuah, he says, is like a flashing light. And some people are Zeicha once in a lifetime to have a flashing light of Nevuah. Some people a few times, some people many times. And he says, and some people like Moshe Rabbeinu says, there was a constant flashing of a light so that it almost sort of appeared like daytime. It's very strange. I mean, that's the halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a parish because he was called Kulay Davak Takarish Baruch Hu. So why is the mashal that the Rambam gives in Mor Nevuchim the mashal of someone who has a constant flashing of the light? Why isn't the light bulb just on all the time? I mean, it's true physically. I mean, one of these people who knows all the trivia will always tell you the light bulb that you see on is actually flicking on and off 60 times a second. Say the Zeh Hashem, but it's on all the time. Why not say it? Because that was the Metzias. He was Kol Kuloi, and that's why he could never. He was Parish and so on. It was all the time. The Teretz is it. There is a part of the person, you know, it's in the Chelek Hatachten of a person, in the Malchus Yehuda of a person, the Maila is constancy. The fact that the person is always doing it, always pushing, always applying, and so on. And that's Metzius. If a person has that all the time, that itself still doesn't, he's missing another half. And in a way, a person will not go further than he is by just doing what he's doing. A person who can't see stands where he is. He's not going to go anyplace. The only thing that will drive a person further down the road is if a light flashes that attracts him. You can have the light flashing a lot of times, but each time it's a horror for a second. Even if they come together in a string where it's one after the other, but Nevuah is something that's apart from the Metzius of the Adam. Nevuah is something that is a misnoitzitz of something that's beyond Adam. It's by Kadosh Baruch Hu, by definition. By definition of what it is, it can only come in sparks. If a person is a very ruchnistic person, these sparks are continuous. But each one is a spark, because it's only te'elis as if it's a spark. Once it's a steadily lighting candle, so then this is my metzias. I'm not going further. When something sparks, explodes, a bright light that's not part of my metzias, here I say, let's go. This is where I want to go to. So the maila of the Adam HaShalom is certainly the Malchus Yehuda, certainly the chelik of the person that's constant and is at grips with himself and understands himself and understands everything and so on. But what will get a person to go beyond himself? That's only that ha'ara, his noitzitzus, a sparking. And by definition, it's something beyond the person, but something that will pull the person there. in what a person does is supposed to do in yeshiva to grow. So a lot of effort has to go, obviously, into consistency. If it's stop and start and stop and start, it's not going to go. If a person doesn't understand his weaknesses, his strengths, what he needs, what he's missing, in the practical learning and so on and so forth, certainly the person's not going to get anywhere. And that's true. But there's another chelik that's a lot less tangible. And in some ways, the difference whether he'll grow or just sit where he is totally in that. The shaila is, how does a person me'ira the nekud of Yosef in himself? Where does if a person doesn't see something that's more than he is, then he's not going to strive for it. Because striving means there's something that's there, but it's beyond me. One of the inyanim of anashim gdolim, people were zeichet to see an adam gadol. So nobody thinks he'll be like him. But at least the Dmust Yuknoy of Yoifi says there is Ruchnius in Midas. There is Ruchnius. There is a special Yoifi of a person who's in control of his Midas. There's a special Yoifi in a person who's in control of his Machshavas. There's a Yoifi in someone that's a Bal Seichel, Bal Das. Those are all Dmust Yuknois that give a person at least a light that he should strive for. But I mean, I always think the Vilna Goyen, I mean, the overwhelming majority of his Torah didn't touch anyone in the door. There was nothing with the Chush HaMishush. People understood a Tipa. I mean, he only printed a Tipa Shabbat Tipa Shabbat Tipa, and Yechidei Skula understand more than a Tipa of a Tipa. So what was the Tachlis of the Goyen? And the Teretz is because Dmust Yuknoi, the Yoifi of the Goyen, the Hoyden, the Hada of someone that was such a Shleimus in Torah, that was such a Shleimus in Das, in Ruach HaLikim, there's a Pelach Shal Hoydoya, and that's more relevant than it applies. But there's a Pelach of Yoifi that comes through Shtika, because we can't say anything, because it's beyond the words that we can give it, that's why it allures us, that's why it pulls us. That was the mokum of such a Dmust Yuknoi for Klal Yisrael. But you need a Shchiyah for that. A person needs to, our Kadosh Baruch Hu was mashtil gdolim, few and far in between, and not everybody zeicher or was zeicher to have a kesher. But at least when a person is learning, and again, in the broadest use of the word, musa machshava pnimius, I don't want to limit it. If a person never had an experience where he saw a vart that throbbed in him, and the person gasped because of the yoifi, because of it's a vart that is it's so above me and yet so alluring. It's something that is so beautiful and it's beyond my grasp. If a person never had that experience, so how is he going to grow? Growing means you want to be taller than you are, but where is taller? More of the same is heavier, not taller. Where am I going to if I don't have the Dmust Yuknoi? If I don't have the Yoifi, Aleishur, where I have to climb onto a wall and look up and see a Dmust Yuknoi of someone who's Doimer to Dmust Yuknoi of Adam Shlei Musay. So to find it somewhere in a Sefer, to find it in Divrei Teuchen, Divrei Machshav, and Divrei Pirus, wherever a person finds it is fine, as long as he found it someplace. Now, if a person didn't find it, I mean, the most desperate of searches should be driving to find it. Where is the person going to go to if there's no goal to go to? Those special inyanim of Yoifi and those special inyanim of Yichud of above the person are the goal where the person is going to strive to. And if he doesn't have it, he's not going to go anywhere because there's nowhere to go to. So on the one hand, there's an avoda that a lot of a gray discipline, focus, practicality, practical evaluation, all that type of stuff, which is zikha, the bread and the meat of a person working on himself. But the panemius of all of it, the things that make it worthwhile, the things that initiate the process, is like Revolver writes in Zakdama, that once a person was overwhelmed by something, by a tremendous yoifi, and said, I don't know if I'll ever reach it, but it's worth spending a life running after it. It's worth spending a life trying to grab it. That's where a person, that's what motivates him. And if for Anoshim Gdoilam, it's a Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have been Zeicha, or in one way or another, and it's not always totally in us to be able to do it, but to find it someplace. And a lot of times, let a person at least look for it in a sefer that he's in. Let a person open up a sefer and ask himself, is there something there that made me, that overwhelmed me with its beauty and emes? Is there something there that gave me that? Chazal say that Chalazor ben Neiris has Bonim Tamir Chachamim. It says there's two Neiris. There's Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Ner Shabbos is a Ner that you have to use. If you don't use it, it's a brachel vatola. Ner Chanukah is a Ner that you're not allowed to use. El loisim bolvat. To be zeicha to be Talmud Chacham, to have Bonim Talmud Chacham, to be Zeicha Talmud Chacham, you need two Nairs to guide you. You need a Nair that you use and work with and learn with and study with. And you need a Nair that's L'Roysim L'Vat, that sets a certain Yoifi and Hadar Chayim, that you're not going to get it, you're not going to touch it, but you're going to strive for it. And it's the Chazal say by Davra Melech, that when Avigail was Megala Shoika, it says she was extraordinary Yoifi. It says she was one of the four Nashim Yafis Bailam. It says that when the Sheikh was Nisgala, he walked in it in the light of it for three parsos. It was such an overwhelming experience. The person has to find that experience, because if there's no place to go to, a person's not going to go to anything.